Here at Community Bible Church, we typically take communion together on the first Sunday of every month, and we are grateful that communion is one of those things within Christianity that celebrates the fact that we are united in Christ. And so for those of us, I know myself, I've only just met the Rising Above band this morning, and yet as we share in this meal together, it is a demonstration of the fact that we share unity in Christ, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that Christ died for all of us who are in this room. And so I'll invite those distributing to begin passing out the emblems at this time. I want to read a passage from the book of Romans chapter 5 as the elements are distributed, and you can just hold them in your hand as I speak this morning, and then we'll partake together in a few moments. The book of Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. I was reading this passage this week, and it's one that many of us who are familiar with the church have no doubt heard many times. Maybe the whole passage, maybe parts of it. And yet again, as has been clear, I'm sure, through my prayers, I've been thinking about this idea of what we take for granted in this life. The fact that there are certain things that we just get used to, that we don't even think about anymore. The things that we go through the motions. And at times, I think even communion can be one of those things. We know there's going to be that little stale piece of bread or wafer. We know there's going to be some juice that's maybe way too sweet. And for those of us who have spent long lengths of time within the church, it's something that we do after a while. And yet the Bible reminds us clearly that this meal, this celebration, is a declaration of Christ's death. It is a ritual in many ways given to us by God himself, given first to his disciples, so that we can remember him, so that we can declare the victory of Christ, so that we can look at passages like this and remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we might even say, while we are still sinners, Christ's blood paid for us. Though we will still be sinners until Christ comes again, his blood has covered us so that we can be justified before a holy God, that we can have our debt before him forgiven, our slate wiped clean, our sins erased. The Bible says, pushed as far as the east is from the west. Diametrically opposed. They can never touch each other. Our sin is removed from us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we take and remember, I want to invite us all to take a moment before we partake to reflect on that reality, that but for the grace of Jesus Christ, we would be lost to our sins. And it's not too hard to think about that, given that many of us, in fact, I would say all of us in this room, I'm sure, still struggle with sin week by week at the very least, day by day, minute by minute at times. If we were to look at our sin and recognize, but for the grace of God, this would condemn me. I would have no hope. I would have no security. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to invite us all to take a moment and reflect on this reality, and I will close us in prayer after that time, and then we will partake in the elements together. Let's contemplate the reality of Christ and his grace. Father, we thank you now this morning for the truth of your word, that even though we cannot meet the standard of holiness and perfection required by you, a holy and perfect God, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died on our behalf and rose victorious 3 days later, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we are forgiven. That when we turn to you and confess our sins, you are faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, help us not take that for granted, but to remember the cost of Christ and to understand just how great that gift is. Father, we talk about the gospel, good news, and yet, God, it is the greatest news, the best news that this world will ever know, is that by the blood of Jesus we can be saved. As we take now and remember, declaring Christ's death until he comes again, would your grace be real to us? Would your love be true to us? Would all of your character build within us this morning, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake in the bread together. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Father, again, we thank you for the unifying work of Jesus Christ. That by his death and resurrection, we are made new creations in Christ. And that is what unites all of us in this room, though we are separated by so many things. The world wants to divide us in so many ways, and yet we are in Christ. So Father, help us to celebrate that unity now as we worship you in song and in prayer, in the reading and teaching of your word, God, and in fellowship together over food later as well. We thank you that you are the one that we follow, and we pray that we would have eyes to see the ways that you are leading us. So again, we love you and we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this point, I'd love to invite the Rising Above Band to join us again.
Well, we're really glad and privileged to be here. You know, this morning actually started, the conversation started probably 5 years ago to come on a Sunday morning. And we couldn't do that many years ago because Howard was a pastor and it was hard for him to get away on Sunday morning. Anyways, got a call in the springtime and here we are. So we're really grateful to be here. And I just want to say, too, that we have a very fond relationship with this church. So the Rising Above Band is part of a ministry. It's a ministry division of Rising Above, a charity that we do other work. And the former Joanna Schall, who has attended this church, was one of our speakers at our conferences for many years. And so that started a relationship with this church. And I don't know how many are new here. And that was the first time you've heard that, but I thought it'd be good for you to know a little bit of history. And we have been here many times before, but always on a Sunday evening to do a concert. So we're glad to be here on a Sunday morning and to share with you. So without further, I was supposed to introduce the band. I better do that. So on the far, my right, your left, is my wife Brenda. And then next is Howard Jolly and Rick Martin. So Rick and Brenda are brother and sister. And then my name is Terry Martin. So we are the Rising Above Band.
Right. Testing 1, 2. We lost the monitors here. I don't know what happened.
Check 1, 2.
Oh, there.
Check.
It's back. Back in.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All of my days I've been held in your hands.
Sing along.
From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's all stand, all my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
Share with you, and I just pray that you would sense the Lord's love for you and my desire to encourage you in your walk with the Lord through the things that I share. The topic that I wanted to talk about is faith in God, and I can do that in 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. It's just huge, you know, the idea of having faith in God, you know, just even to speak before you that the Lord would use what I have to say for his glory, and that he would use me for his glory in speaking with you. And there's a lot of things connected to faith in God, you know, even from the Old Testament, even into the New Testament. You know, there's this story of God, you know, in the Word, and I feel like the huge thing that he calls us to is to trust in him, to have faith in him, you know, that in his goodness, and also too that in his power, in who he is, that he is Almighty God, that he is sovereign in all things, and that he works in all things for our good in our lives. And so as I was reading through the New Testament, you know, there just seems to be this theme, even connected to communion, you know, this thought that when we trust in Christ as our Savior, he cleanses us of all our sin, and he makes a relationship with God possible. We become born into his family, and we become a son or a daughter of God. And I think the huge thing in that, too, is not only do we get this new birth in the Lord, but also, too, in Christ, as a huge part of faith, too, is that we enter into this journey with God, that we have fellowship with him. And so as we walk day by day, we're walking with God. And also in that journey with God, he works all things for good in our lives, all through our life. You know, as we look back even into our childhood, and I'm going to talk about my childhood a little bit with you too in talking about, but as we walk through these things with God, that he's molding us and he's shaping us, he's growing us, I guess you would say, into becoming the children that we were meant to be. The idea, even if where it says that when we have Christ, he gives us the power to become children of God. To those that have received him, it says in John, he gives the power to become children of God. And the idea of becoming a child of God is to be gifted with the capacity to bring glory to God. And even outside of that, we don't have that capacity. But Jesus gives us that capacity. And he gives us that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. It's true. And also, too, that even with faith, that, you know, all things come to their fulfillment in the Lord. Everything comes to fruition the way that God has intended it for it to come. It's all going to turn out the way God intended it. Amen. And so when we look at things, we look at the wars, we look at the things that are discouraging in our lives, we need to rest in the fact that God is in control, that he holds all things in his hands, and everything is going to turn out the way that he wants it to turn out, because he is Almighty God. Amen? So those are the things that are connected to faith. So let's close in prayer. I'm just kidding. I don't have a clock here, so I'm going to try to not to be too long. And they were going to try to get Rick or Terry to speak too, but they speak too long, so they got me to share with you, eh? Especially Brenda, yeah, especially Brenda, yeah. But the verses that I had were where it says in Hebrews, and it says. How does Hebrews start? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, and the idea of the things hoped for, you know, what do you hope for in God? You know, that those things will come to fruition, things that are hoped for in accordance to his will. And the idea of him us hoping for things. You know, for me, I just, as a follower of Christ and in connection to my people, I love my people, you know, and I'm Cree, and there's a lot of things that I desire for my people, You know, I desire for them to rise up. I desire for them to have a real sense of dignity, a lot of healing. I desire for their lives, and even for my life too, that God would raise us up to be the people that He intended for us to be. I think there's a lot of shame-based identity that exists in my community with my people, and a lot of that connected to the impact of colonization too, the impact of residential schools on our lives. And I went to residential school as a little boy, you know, and I can honestly say that I really struggled with being Cree or Indigenous. I thought white people were better than me. I kind of wanted to be like a white person, and I just felt like they were smarter, and their way seems to be better. And I think a lot of that is connected to the impact of being in residential school. So a lot of things I desire from the Lord. And then it says, in verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Talking about God, or the person that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I thought of the idea there, you know, and even in sharing with you, you know, about faith in God, believing in who God is. Who is God? Who is He? And there's so much to say, you know, in connection to who God is, that He is holy, that He is almighty, that He is perfect, that He is good, that He is kind, that He is loving, that He is compassionate. You know, all things about who He is. And then along with that, and just, you know, we don't see Him, but through faith, we look upon Him and believe these things about Him. He's in our midst right now. Amen? He's in our midst, and through faith, we believe that He is here. And so we worship Him, and we lift our hands up to Him, and we exalt Him through faith. And then also, too, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And what does it mean to diligently seek the Lord? And for me, like at this point in my life, and even in sharing with you about things, I think the idea of diligently seeking the Lord is to seek God from the depths of our being, to seek God from our heart. A lot of times we don't want God to enter into the deep things in our lives, and we don't want others to know the deep things about us too. And a lot of times the Lord desires for us to open up our hearts to Him. And that's very hard to do, especially when your heart has been so messy like mine. You know, and He really desires that. The verse that comes to mind is in the Old Testament where it says, deep cries out to deep. You know, like God really wants to know you in here, and He wants you to bring those things out. And I'd have to say that He desires for you to bring them out through people that you are called, or you can feel that you can trust, that you can have faith in those people. And God works through those people to bring life to you. Drew, I recognize you. Good to see you. Yeah. And I just, Joanne was that kind of person to me. You know, like I could really trust my heart to Him, and my wife and I, we trusted Joanne with our hearts. And you know, even with my wife, you know, like when I first got married, you know, I just, you know, through our marriage, I was just so in love with my wife, and I'm still really in love with my wife today. But in that love, I just really desired to know her. And I really desired for her to know me. And the only way that I felt like we could really have this strong, intimate connection is to open up our hearts to each other. And that's how it is with God, too. That God is like that. God is like that with you. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes is kind of about that. You know, the preacher talks about life under the sun, all his vanity under the sun. And he's kind of like just pushing you I would say he's kind of pushing your heart. He's kind of telling you, hey, open it up. Open up your heart to me, you know. And just like if you open up your heart, you'll really get to know me. And with God, I will say, you will find that I'm amazing, that I'm awesome. You open up your heart to me. And so one day I sat with my wife, you know, and not long after we got married, and I sat her down. and she was sitting on the chair. I said, I have something to tell you. You know, I was it was really hard for me because I was opening up deep, something deep within me to her. And something I never told anyone else about this deep thing that I was carrying in my life, this deep sin that I was carrying in my life. And boy, I took a risk, you know. I thought my wife, after I tell her, she might not want to have anything to do with me, you know, something about my past. And you know, after I said what I said, she just grabbed me, and she just held me, you know, in her arms, and she just cried with me. And the thing about it, you know, about that is, the way I felt in that moment, I felt like it was like God was grabbing me. And my wife is not God, but it's just like God was working through my wife to bring life to me. And it was just amazing. And so that's the thing that I'm talking about when I talk about deep things in the heart. Because the word says, God works all things for good to those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. And as followers of Christ and as people that believe the word of God, I think our connection with God needs to go back even to the day that we were born. You know, that he knit us together in our mother's womb, and all the days of my life are before the Lord. And that he works in all things. You know, even in the mistakes that we make in life, God can work through those as we walk with him through them, through those things. And a lot of times it's walking with those things with another person that God uses. Sometimes when we confess our sins to God, sometimes it just doesn't seem like enough, you know. It's just like you're still hiding something, you know. But when you confess them to someone else, it just seems like God uses that to really bring life to you. And so those are the things that I want to encourage us with in our lives, in our connection with God. And the thing that I wanted to share, you know, a little bit, I'm not sure, with you, is in connection to our history. You know, even the history of Canada or Turtle Island, I will call it, you know. And there's a lot of things that are connected to that, where assimilation, colonization, and even the church has impacted my people in a negative way. I went to residential school as a little boy. I think I mentioned that before, and it just, you know, really impacted my life in a negative way. That like I thought white people were better, you know, and it's just the way that we've been taught. Like even through the church, I was talking yesterday about seeing this painting on the wall when I first went into residential school, and on the painting, you know, there's people that are on the top, and it's just like it's beautiful and it's kind of golden and bright, you know, and all the people on the top of the picture are white. And as you go down, it gets darker, and at the bottom, it's just black, and there's red flames, you know, there, and there's people there. You can tell they're in agony, and they're all dark. And it just seemed to put in my head that in order to be right with God, you had to be white. And all the dark people are people that are, I guess, lost and in need of what the white people have. And so that's the kind of thinking I grew up with, and a lot of things connected to that. And you've heard of the unmarked graves. There's in Kamloops, the first 215 unmarked graves at the site of a residential school. And then even, you know, and the space there, I've been there, you know, the space where the unmarked graves are really close to where the school was, you know, and just not a very big area, maybe as big as this, where the unmarked graves are. And then I went to the Cowses Reserve in the Fort Qu'Appelle Valley in Saskatchewan. You know, as we were coming here, you know, they kept saying, isn't this beautiful? Isn't this beautiful? Like, you know, like the land and the landscape, right, Rick? And Brenda, I said, oh, it's amazing. And I'm thinking, I don't think you've been to Fort Qu'Appelle. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the land of your birth is it brings a lot of memories to you. But in the Qu'Appelle Valley, there's this big valley, and there's this river, and it's right on the Cowses Reserve. And so I went to where these unmarked graves were there. There are 751 unmarked graves, and it's close to where the residential school was. And the area is about a mile, you know, square. And there's little orange flags there, and what else? Little crosses, little teddy bears, little shoes. You know, and I just was just overwhelmed being there. And I just felt compelled to speak into that space, you know, and I'm thinking about the children and what they must have gone through before they died. You know, they would be away from home. There must have been a lot of fear in their hearts just before their passing. And as I was speaking as if they were there, and as a person that has gone to residential school too, and I just spoke loud, and I just said, as if I was talking to the children, I said, I really want to honor you in how I live out my life. I really want to honor you in how I live out my life. You know, and just I didn't think about it a lot, but I thought, what would they want me? How would they want me to live, and what they would they want me to say? You know, as I talk about history, and just processing history with people, and even with white people too, and I was just thinking, I didn't think about it a lot, but the communion really brought this back to me again. The thing was. Just the power of the cross, the power of the cross. In the Old Testament, it talks about Cain killing his brother Abel, and the Lord comes to Cain and says, you know, what have you done? You know, and Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? You know, we are all our brother's keeper. We are our sister's keeper too. And the Lord says to him, the blood of your brother cries out from the ground to me. And just a lot of powerful thoughts in that to study, you know, in the idea of the blood crying out from the ground. It's just like the ground won't receive his blood. Why is the ground not receiving his blood? The blood of your brother cries out from the ground. And there's a sense that there's, and even connected to the land too. You know, there's a call for justice. There's a call for doing what is right in connection to what has happened. And so I thought about that, and I wrote these verses about what the children must have gone through. And then I wanted to close the song with some hope, you know, and I didn't know how to bring about hope in such a dark, difficult thing. Yeah, such an overwhelming thing. And then my thoughts went to the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews, it talks about the blood of Abel, but then it speaks of the blood of Jesus. And it says that the blood of Jesus speaks of a better way. And what better way is that that the blood of Jesus speaks about? The blood of Jesus speaks about mercy. It speaks about forgiveness. You know, and to really see that as we process these things in our lives and process our history in our lives, because it's really connected to us even here today, that we would connect it to the fact that there's a sense that we need to do what is right, even in connection to our ancestors, in connection to our history. And I believe that as we talk about the cross, You know, there's power there. You know, there's a person that has said, at the foot of the cross, the ground is leveled. God receives all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. And I'll say, no matter what our forefathers have done too, God receives all of us. And there's a sense in that, there will be a blessing from God as we walk with Him in truth in our lives. And do you believe that to be true? Because I'm speaking to you because I feel like I pray that you would sense that I love you and that God loves you and that God desires your good. God desires the good of your children. God desires the good of your grandchildren. God desires those that will come from you that will probably live in this earth even after you're gone. And so just processing all those things and having faith in God and just walking with Him. The thing about faith, you know, is it's an active word, you know. It's just step by step. And are you going to take the next step with God? Move forward with God in the things that I've been sharing with you? I'm just going to ask your pastor to come and maybe pray, however you feel led to pray or even to respond to the things that I've shared. I don't want to put you on the spot, brother, but I just feel like this is your pastor here. You're the shepherd. So.
Father, we thank you that through the blood of Jesus, all can be forgiven. We thank you that though our hearts are far from you, by the blood of Jesus, we can be made into sons and daughters of you. I pray that through the power of Christ, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us the capacity, as Howard said, to live out our calling as children of you. That you would help us to live as though we are those marked by Christ. To live our lives as demonstrators of the gospel truth that we believe. That in our interactions with those we love and those we struggle to love, and those we don't even know, Father, would our lives be demonstrations of your perfect love. Father, as we interact with those who have been wronged, those who have been harmed, those who have been sinned against, we recognize that we too are sinners, but for the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, that we too have separated ourselves from you by our actions, but for the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word and the reminder that faith is believing in that which we have not seen. There is an aspect of trusting in you, despite the fact that we do not see you in front of us, and yet we are blind if we say that we don't see the ways that you are moving, the ways that you act in this world. Father, we thank you for your word, the ways that you have communicated to us, the ways that you have given us understanding of your grace, and we pray for more of that understanding, more of that grace, more of that mercy, more of that love to our friends, our family, and even to our enemy. God, help us to understand that we are made new in Christ so that we can walk in light of that reality. So we thank you, God, now, in the name of Jesus.